This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create positive change in the world every day by being a conscious consumer. I'm your host, Laura Alexander Wittig, founder of Brightly.eco, and I started this podcast a few years ago because I wanted a place to talk about the gray areas around sustainability and how being a conscious consumer can be challenging and confusing, but it's totally doable. So join me in the name of reducing waste and living positively in the name of the planet. Together listeners, I hope you're doing well. I'm recording this episode at the very end of Earth Month, and actually Earth Day was yesterday when I recorded this. And you know, like I said in a previous episode, I feel like Earth Day, Earth Month, etc. is such a great reminder of why we do this podcast, why I'm listening to, you know, all of your feedback, why we're involved in the space of conscious consumerism. You know, I saw some, as usual, right, like Earth Month and Earth Day bring about lots of very good and well-intended debate around, you know, is climate change actually being slowed down, or are all of our efforts for nothing? And, you know, people banter about this. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, if you view your conscious consumerism activities as a net win for both yourself and the environment, that is really going to be key. So why am I saying that? I think if you look at, you know, the science behind consumer behavior to drive change, it works in some instances, right? It works with, you know, production of new products. Like it works really, I would say, in the, you know, like I said, in the consumerism lens, where we start to get skeptics weighing in, et cetera, is the bigger picture, such as global warming, et cetera. We do obviously know that if consumers, you know, adopt electric cars or, you know, continue to reduce their consumption of energy, in theory, that's going to lower carbon emissions. And in theory, that's going to, lower the, you know, effect of global warming. But there's a lot of other factors at play. Why am I talking about this? Because I just, It made sense for me to bring up at the top of this episode, because regardless of the trolls, the skeptics, or, you know, anything is weighing on you this Earth Day or Earth Month, I want you to know that when you make a conscious choice, it does make a difference. We've talked about all the ways it can and does make a difference, but it's also going to make a big difference in your mental health. Climate anxiety is a real thing. It's actually something that, you know, it's very easy to shove aside and kind of try not to think about, but it's always there. My husband and I were just talking about some of the tide patterns around where we like to go at the beach here, sort of an hour and a half away from where we are in Seattle. And it's very obvious when you're walking around, like you can see how all of this stuff is interconnected and how climate change is really impacting the natural environment right there in our face, right? And so having that climate anxiety moment was real for me, and it's real for me every day because I'm exposed to this. But again, my solution to it is to spend more time outside, which we're going to talk about now, and also to just give yourself some grace to, you know, engage in conscious consumerism when you can, and to realize that, you know, you truly are going to be doing the best you can. And even if you're not the most green person ever, it truly is the action that matters, in my opinion. Okay, so I mentioned that one of my personal cures for climate anxiety is getting outside and reconnecting with the earth through hiking, nature walks. And I also want to talk about earthing, because earthing is such an interesting phenomenon. And I laugh because you'll kind of see why I'm laughing in a little bit. But I also thought on the importance of getting into this topic, we would start with a little bit of a funny note, because you know me, I generally like to laugh and have a good time. So when I thought about what we should call the title of this episode, to me, like, the term touch grass is so funny and also it's like we're kind of, it's on the nose. So if you've not heard, there's like, and you can go to knowyourmeme.com, which is an amazing website you will get sucked into for hours if you go. So please do. But according to knowyourmeme.com, touch grass, or quote unquote touch some grass, is a popular online insult and an alternative way of someone of telling someone to go outside, which is implying that they're spending too much time online and it's affecting their well-being. Typically, people of a certain political party like to use this one to people that disagree with them. Like that, unfortunately, that's where I find this being used all the time, which is very annoying. But to me, the phrase is kind of funny just because, I don't know, it's like a shortening of telling someone to like get lost or like go outside or go touch grass. It's stupid. Anyway, the sentiment behind it, although coming from a place of negativity, right? Like, is interesting when we think about we're probably just continually spending too much time online and it's affecting our well-being. We know that. And so I was going to start by saying, like, how much time are you spending online? So my screen time app on my iPhone, which, by the way, a huge iPhone fan, probably will be forever. It's shocking how much my screen time app is telling me I'm spending on my phone every day. That's not including what I'm doing on my desktop. So according to my iPhone, I spend anywhere from 3 to 4 hours every day on my phone. 3 to 4 hours, that's insane. One thing that I have noticed is that when I am in a situation where I'm exposed to more nature, for instance, hanging out at the beach, or even just like sitting by the window on a nice day and feeling that pull to go outside and hang out in the sunshine, I spend way less time on my phone. So, you know, again, we're going to talk about like why it makes sense to spend more time outside just from a health and wellness perspective. But one tip that I have, and I'm actually going to give you more tips in a little bit, but one tip that I have to actually get yourself outside, because that's one of the biggest challenges, whether we're talking about weather or distractions from electronics, etc. You know, try just like positioning yourself by the window. I swear to God, it works. Okay, so why should we spend time outside? Why should we go hiking? Why should we take nature walks? There's been a lot of studies done that really discuss the physical, mental, and emotional benefits of spending time outdoors. We know that, I believe the Japanese are the ones who coined the term tree bathing, right? Just like literally going outside, not doing anything. They're not even talking about going out on a hike. They're talking about just like being quiet and being mindful outside. And so, you know, lots of research out here. There's one study from the International Journal of Environmental Health Research that, you know, does definitively say that spending time in nature can reduce stress, anxiety, and depression. And obviously, if you're moving around, you're going to be offering yourself some opportunity for some exercise, which, again, we can put to the side oftentimes, I think, when we are just cooped up indoors or, you know, obsessively on our electronics. So getting outside, moving, you don't even really have to break a sweat, go on a long walk. That's obviously still going to give you some really great cardiovascular health, overall fitness, etc. The other thing that I thought was interesting was there was a study done by Berman and some other scientists that said that connecting with nature has actually been linked to enhanced creativity, cognitive function, and then mood regulation, which is what we talked about earlier. I 100% agree with this from a personal perspective. If I feel like I'm in a creative rut, which happens from time to time, of course it happens more when you're coming off a pandemic, right? Like, I mean, and am I ever going to stop talking about that? I don't know. But to me, I just feel like there was this world before COVID and after COVID, and we're like still getting through it. But getting, you know, pulling ourselves away from that sort of temptation to become a hermit in your house and not leave. Like, I am so guilty of this. So finding creative ruts, you know, are happening to me maybe a little bit more frequently. Making myself get outside is a huge, huge benefit. Now, I live in Seattle where the weather is terrible here for a lot of the year. So I will talk a little bit in a bit about how to kind of mitigate that or mitigate challenges that you have to like actually getting yourself outside. But before we go there, as we kind of talk more about the, I would say like the health benefits behind being outside, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about something called earthing, earthing or grounding. It's basically the idea that connecting directly with the earth's surface can be good for your health. So it's like when you're walking barefoot on the grass or on the beach, etc. And here's what the theory is. And it's so funny. Eric is literally not at the house right now. My husband, you've heard him before in previous episodes. He was electrical engineering manager. He's got some pretty funny takes on, like, why this is so bogus. Maybe one day we'll just do a silly episode about it, but I'm not going to take up all your time today. But the theory is, according to the earthing people, is that the earth has a natural electric charge, which it does. That's not a theory. And when you make contact with it, you absorb some of that charge, kind of like recharging your body's battery, from what I understand. So people who believe in earthing say it can help with a lot of things, like reducing stress, improving sleep, relieving pain. There's a brand out there that I keep getting retargeted for ads where they're like trying to sell like this like mat that goes in your bed. So you like sleep on it and you're like basically like grounding yourself when you're sleeping. And again, to me, it just seems very strange. It suffice it to say there's not any science that backs it up, and I'll talk about that. But when I get these targeted ads on Facebook or Instagram, whatever, it always starts with this guy being like, you know, the cause of all disease is inflammation, which is true to some extent, but not everything. You can't ever say all. Like, you guys know I hate hyperbole. He starts off by saying that, and then he's like, the reason why you have inflammation in your body is because of electrical charges, and I don't know. It just sounds very pseudoscience. And there's a really interesting article from Science Based Medicine, which is a great resource, by the way, that summarizes the skepticism around earthing, which, so as you guys know, I could barely even talk about being like scratching my head, but you know, there's really just not, according to this, to science-based medicine, there's not enough solid evidence to prove that earthing works the way people claim it does, right? So we're not saying that it's a bad idea to go out and be barefoot in the grass. That's amazing. Like, of course you're going to get some, you know, placebo effect from that. You're going to get fresh air. You're going to be exercising. You know, you're going to have kind of a different experience. Like, most of the time we were wearing shoes. So, you know, maybe enjoying the feeling of the earth beneath your feet is beneficial. But when we're thinking about how it becomes this magical cure-all with electricity, it's just so, it's something else. That's all I'll say. So that's still up for debate. But we know that getting outside is good for your health, and that's why it's important. It's also important to get outside because we're reminded of our planet, which is why we're doing that episode today. You know, hiking and nature walks are fostering a greater appreciation for the world. You know, when you're doing that, right? You're outside, you're seeing the bird, you're hearing the birds. Maybe you're seeing some. In my case, we see lots of birds right now in Seattle and lots of rabbits, which my dogs go nuts about, but we make sure that we protect all of our rabbit friends. You know, you're also, just again, sparking that creativity, giving yourself some opportunities to take your mind off of problems and stresses in your life. You're, you know, and as you're like experiencing, I'd say this, like the beauty of the earth, the biodiversity of natural landscapes, etc., I actually think it can lead to a sense of wonder or curiosity. And that's of course going to make you a little bit more excited about protecting the planet. If you are like closed up in an iron box all the time, you might care a little bit less about the earth. Maybe you actually would care more, actually. Let me, because you'd want to get outside, but you know what I'm saying. You know, being, you know, what do they say? Out of sight, out of mind. Like making sure that you're, you know, exposing yourself to how pretty things are. And, you know, I just talked about the beach. We're fortunate to have a little spot that we go on the beach regularly. And there's orcas that swim by occasionally. And to me, seeing orcas in person is like literally a religious experience. Every time I see them, I like sob. It's just the majesty and beauty of those animals is insane. If you ever visit Seattle, I have some recommended places for sightings. But honestly, the place I've seen orcas the most has been on the ferry. So on any of the ferries, going from Seattle to Bainbridge Island or to Edmonds, Kingston, etc. Like, that's my hot tip for orca sighting. But anyway, whenever something like that happens, obviously, I am reminded of the importance of ocean conservation and how at least the resident orca populations here in the Pacific Northwest are very endangered right now, unfortunately. So anyway, all of that saying that being outside and increasing my exposure to nature is going to be a catalyst for action for me. And, you know, research, there's a report that got published in Frontiers in Psychology, and that does indicate what I just said. I mean, it says that exposure to nature can promote pro-environmental attitudes and behaviors. So engaging in outdoor activities like hiking encourages environmental stewardship. It also, you know, it gives you a deeper understanding of the ecosystems around you, and I guess really the interconnectedness of everything and all of our living beings. It also, I think, too, as you're going out and you're, you know, getting into your hikes or your nature walks, you're going to start to notice more about, like, your local community, too. You're going to notice, you know, maybe some areas that need trash pickup. Maybe you do that on the way. Maybe you make a date or a social gathering to go pick up trash in certain areas. But it's absolutely going to give you not only a sense of community locally, but just, of course, in general, as we think about the planet. Hey, listeners, I'm excited to give a shout out to another like-minded podcast. Introducing A Little Green, the podcast that delves deep into our connection with the planet. In the first season of A Little Green, host Christina Thompson shattered the stigma surrounding questions about our environment, because we know there's no such thing as a silly question when it comes to saving our planet. Armed with knowledge from experts like Dr. Catherine Wilson, Jade Begay, and Professor Sarah Jaquette Ray, the audience comes to understand their role in the climate crisis and how to enact change. Season 2 brings you personal narratives from individuals whose lives were transformed by nature, highlighting our reciprocal relationship with the Earth. And now, in their latest season, host Christina Thompson spotlights incredible resilience in the face of climate change. For this third season of A Little Green, join Christina as she explores grassroots efforts across New York City, uncovering innovative and collaborative strategies to promote communities. From Red Hook to the Bronx, each episode features individuals deeply invested in their neighborhoods, creating tangible change today. Tune in to A Little Green for inspiring stories, expert insights, and actionable steps towards a greener future. Because when it comes to saving our planet, every conversation matters. Okay, so what we all know that we need to get outside. I don't think that's anything new. I told you a little bit about why we should. But one of the things I was thinking about when I was making the notes for this episode was, I'm telling you, it can be really hard to get yourself outside sometimes. And maybe this is not you. Maybe you are somebody who makes it a routine to get outside every day. We all should be you, if that's you listening. But whether it is weather is a big one for me here, just general busyness, like getting obsessed about something I need to work on, or, just like hyperfixating on something that needs to get done in the house, that happens. You guys also know I'm a relatively new parent. I have a 2.5-year-old. Sometimes if she's sick, we're like indoors, like we're kind of in hibernation mode, basically. So there's a lot of reasons like why I don't get outside, but that's, for the most part, that's BS. Like, I should just overcome them. So here's some tips that I actually have to overcome some of those challenges. First of all, if you're a parent, getting your kid outside every day is a really, really important thing from a just like general learning and development perspective for them, but it's also really good for their moods. I think somebody told me when I was pregnant, they were like, the best parenting advice anybody ever gave me is if there's a meltdown happening. And she's like, and when I say meltdown, I mean that we could talk about you or your kid, right? Because sometimes they can, especially parenting toddlers, it can get challenging. Just go outside. Like, and I'm talking even about like a screaming meltdown in a restaurant or just in the house. Just grab them up, grab yourself up, and just go outside. And almost every time, it just immediately quiets that kiddo down. I don't know what it is. It's just a change of scenery. But it really, really helps. So when my daughter's sick, I still think I can and should, if the weather's okay. We'll talk about weather in a second, but in the instance of a sick kid, I might not want to like pull her out into like pouring down rain, but I can always throw her in the stroller. She's still small enough. She'll fit in a stroller. We can just walk around. I'm not feeling sick myself. Just get her out there from that perspective. And she kind of gets that nice fresh air. Europeans are very big into this. When you get colds, et cetera, even if it's a dead of winter, they're like, you need to get outside. You need to open your windows. Like, that is a big, I hate the term old wives' tale. It's not really true. That's a big understanding that they have, cultural understanding that they have. So that's one way I'm going to like bust that myth for the thing. Weather. Again, if we look to places like Europe or, you know, there's like outdoor preschools where kids literally are outdoors 100% of the time. You can also think about folks in Nordic countries who still like let their babies sleep outside in the dead of winter. Like, there is something to be said about making yourself go out even when the weather is not ideal. At time of recording, I'm looking out my window. It is a beautiful, sunny, 70-degree weather day here in Seattle, which is, there's nothing better. There's honestly, to me, nothing better than Seattle in the spring and summer. It's just heavenly. That's why I live here, and that's why I put up with months upon months of darkness and rain. But get better gear. That's what I tell myself. If I don't put on some wellies or Blundstones, which you guys know are so trendy, I have some, and a big raincoat, I can go outside. Just like put that hair up in a bun. Like, you know, I can go outside. You may or may not know people in Seattle do not use umbrellas. It's very gauche, apparently. So just putting that rain gear on, getting outside. Same thing with kids. If you have a kid that's in an outdoor preschool, which, by the way, we should probably do an episode about that because they're fascinating. Even from someone that's relatively crunchy like me, it seems like, really? You're not going to go inside at all? But maybe we'll do an episode about that. Those kids in those preschools, I mean, they've got some serious water gear. They've got these, like, water overall things, like their mud covers, like they're fitted out. So get some more gear. And you know, you could always ask on your Buy Nothing group. You don't necessarily have to buy it. So that's me saying, okay, no more excuses for weather. And finally, like you can set yourself up for success in other ways. So number one, like plan ahead. Like if you're stuck, why don't you figure out a way to go on a new hike around you? Research trails, check the weather forecasts, making sure you've got the right gear on, like plan ahead so that any of those sort of hesitancies get removed because you're planning ahead. Try urban hikes. I don't know where you live, listeners. You live all over the world. But there are so many interesting urban hikes out there now in places you might not expect. I mean, obviously Seattle, very nature-focused place. We have something called the Burke-Gilman Trail, which is a trail that goes kind of all over the city. It's amazing. And it goes from Seattle all the way up to Woodville, which is not super close here. So it's a very long trail. There are parts that you can, get around the city without having to, if you're biking, you can bike the whole thing. It's really, really cool. So that's a neat sort of urban hike. And then in Dallas, where I'm originally from, there's something called the Katy Trail, which again, when it's super hot outside, that can be kind of a hard thing to do. But when I tell you, I did this with my dad a few summers ago, we knew that it was really, really hot. But he and I both were like, not only in a fitness routine, but we wanted to just get outside. What did we do? We left early in the morning. So we left before it got started to get super hot. Obviously by the time we got done, we were super sweaty, but it was just like, we're just going to do it. You know, that's what we did. So, and actually we ended the hike with a stop at, I think it's called the Katy Trail Ice House, guys. If you're from Dallas, forgive me. I forget what it's called, but it's a nice, like bar. And cause we did, I think we got up early. When I say early, I think maybe we start walking around like 9 a.m. We spent a few hours out there. So by the time we got done, it was about lunchtime. So lest you think I was over here, downing a bunch of alcohol at 9 a.m. but what I say, the reason why I bring up the conclusion of that walk and that story for you is because we gave ourselves a carrot, which was, okay, it's hot outside, but we want to make sure we're having fitness. We want to include some togetherness time without sitting in front of the TV, right? We're going to get outside. So what are we going to do? We're going to leave early and then we're going to reward ourselves when we're done. One of my favorite ways to motivate myself with a carrot is to plan an outdoor excursion with a fun lunch afterwards, or going to a brewery or a winery or something. Like most of the places that I'm talking about are casual, so like you can show up in your hiking gear and be there. I also like to, when we go camping, guys, I'm not the biggest camping person. I don't know. I think more just has to do with like the quality sleep I get, which is usually not great. Although you are tired, so sometimes you do pass out. But anyway, I like to plan kind of fun, interesting campfire meal type things, which obviously requires some planning, but it's kind of like a fun reward at the, excuse me, at the end of the day. So get yourself a carrot when it comes to getting outside if you need help. So one thing that I also wanted to do as we, you know, considered the impact of hiking and spending time in nature is share a perspective from another story. And this story is coming to you from a new podcast. Well, actually, it's not a new podcast. It's been around for 3 years, but it's new to me and probably new to you. It's called A Little Green. And A Little Green is, you know, a podcast that's similar in our to Good Together, where we're just really getting deep into the connection with our planet in a variety of ways. And so one of the things that I thought was interesting was as I was going back and doing some research, there's a really fascinating episode in season two called The Hiker. And, you know, the bottom line of this episode is, you know, the spending time in nature, really from a personal perspective here, his name's Mike Furman. He's got a website called portraitofahiker.com. He describes how he went from struggling with anxiety and depression in a very, very intense way. And he later went on to hike over 13,000 miles of the country's most spectacular trails. So let's hear now directly from Mike a little bit about, you know, how this experience impacted his life.
And I came across a study that said spending 2 hours or more each week in green space away from home can help alleviate symptoms of depression. I basically thought, I'll give it a shot. For some reason, I went hiking, and it started out as almost whatever, couldn't hurt, right? How's it going to be worse? So I went hiking, and it didn't get worse. It got better. Hiking provided me with some time and some clarity, maybe a little distance, where I could actually start exploring all of the things that had happened and the feelings and the thoughts and what my life ought to be. I spent a lot of time just laying in bed under my blankets and doing nothing except for not moving and just trying to go unnoticed. And the more time I spent outside, you get sunrises for dopamine, you get sunshine all day for vitamin D, it's physical exercise. I basically did everything I could to cheat the brain chemistry, and it seems to have worked. One of the things I realized when I started getting much deeper into hiking and spending all the time in the wilderness is that it just feels natural and right. I mean, humans have spent so much time outside for so long, and now you have people constantly staring at their smartphones. And I know I sound like a grumpy old man, but that seems detrimental. And learning to completely eliminate all of that and just accept the moment that is, and whatever it is, embrace it, get through it. It kind of sparked a new curiosity about life in general. It has completely changed me.
Okay, so for me, that was such a powerful statement. I really do feel like hearing the perspective of Mike and his journey and checking that out at portraitofahiker.com was something that, again, brought forward the need for me personally to get out in nature more. So I hope you listeners have enjoyed this episode. As you know, we from time to time, I do these solo episodes. I try and share my own personal experiences. I hope you enjoyed about learning about the various ways that we can benefit by being outside. I hope you remember to check your screen time on your phone today and see what your average has been over the past week. I hope you get outside today. And I hope that you have a great rest of your week. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. To get show notes and more, head to brightly.eco/podcast. Finally, don't forget to join in on the conversation with us on social media. You'll find us on almost everything at brightly.eco. Don't forget, we're all on this journey together, so have fun putting the planet first and stay curious.